is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Sean Kane here, your host, the NBA Lineup Logic Podcast, bringing you NBA DFS lineup construction ideas for the slate to come on FanDuel. It is the Friday episode, Friday, February 24th. I apologize for misdating yesterday's podcast. I have no idea. I dated it the 21st. I have no idea why. I'm not really completely sure. Interesting slate tonight. That Thursday slate, recording late Thursday night here, getting ready for the Friday slate. Interesting slate. Some guys just blew up. DeMarcus Cousins goes for 68. And the Brow goes for 46. I think it's working. They got beat pretty badly by Houston, but there's something there for sure. They're both producing. Yusuf Nurkic, man, goes for 40. Apparently he's the real deal. Had a really nice game in Orlando against Vucevic. Vucevic did fine. You know, we rostered him. He did absolutely fine. LeBron, the minute that I say LeBron isn't going to hit his value, he goes out and he hits value, of course. And then beautiful, beautiful situation in Charlotte and Detroit. Charlotte and Detroit go to OT. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, we talked about him on the pod, goes for 48 FanDuel points. KCP, baby, love me some KCP. He does that every once in a while, guys. He goes takeover mode. And Kemba Walker on the opposite side of the ball went for 55. I got on Kemba Walker in kind of a last-minute move with some salary savings around the slate, and he is really helping me hold on here. Hopefully we can hold on all the way through the rest of the night. Take this lineup into cash. Before we jump into today's slate, let's go ahead and recap the previous day's lineup. One of these nights. Okay, so, interestingly enough, I ended up with a very similar core of players in the middle, but my top players, my point guards changed quite a bit. I ended up with Damian Lillard and Kemba Walker. Originally, it was, Derrick Rose and Steph. We still haven't seen what Steph's going to do tonight. So, good matchup for him, though, without Chris Paul on the court. You like that situation. Should be primed for 40-plus. D. Rose got smoked. I don't know. Maybe it was the whole trade thing. He only put up 20 in his game. He definitely had the opportunity to do more, but kind of fell asleep there. A lot of people were on him, and it looked like a great matchup situation. Not really completely sure what happened in that situation, but not great. Then we were on Fournier. We said he could go for 30. He goes for 29. Really nice value there at 5-4. He puts up a nice 5x plus value. Harden. Oh, man. I mean, luckily, Harden is owned in 70% of cash games, but he only scored 40 FanDuel points. And the reason I think is mostly he scores 30 in the first half, and then he just goes and he sits down for most of the second quarter because they're up 30 points for basically the whole second half. Whereas LeBron is only up by 10. The Knicks kind of stayed in it with their bench. And then I got on Marcus Morris over Trevor Ariza, had a little bit of money, saw a little bit more ceiling there with Marcus Morris. Morris did terrible for a little while, jumped back up. Aaron Gordon had a nice game. The world was on him, 70% owned. John Lohr had a really nice game, pretty nice spot there for John Lohr. 22 FanDuel points, hit just about value there. So you can't be upset with that, especially if you played him over Kaminsky, who only had 22 FanDuel points. Not mad there. Still waiting on Willie Cauley-Stein. And Vooch, I went with Vooch kind of as a variance play. He wasn't terribly high owned, but he wasn't low owned. He was owned at 27% in cash. 37 FanDuel points, right where you wanted him to be. Of course, if the guy who was across the ball from him scored 40 and, was... was basically, you know, going for 10x. So a little bit disappointing in that respect. You know, not the end of the world. So looking at getting to, you know, as long as Willie Cauley-Stein puts together a decent game against Denver tonight, we should be able to hit that 300 number and hold in our 50-50s. We'll see how that goes. You know, who knows what cash lines are going to look like tonight. I'm not really sure. Could be really high, could be really low. Kind of depends on how all those value shooting guards do out in Sacramento. Anyway, some interesting pivots. You know, this is always why I say you want to be pivoting off of the lineup. You want to make sure that you're paying attention as projections change, as news changes, things change. You know, hopefully you made some adjustments to your line before lineup lock based on the core that we brought out there. But it's going to be a nice night in the NBA on Friday. We have a nice little 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 game slate here. Some decent matchups, a couple really juicy ones, some that you're kind of so on. But I brought my man Josh Fernandez on to break it down with me. Let's go ahead and take a look at the night to come in the NBA. Okay, we're going to go through some injury news. We'll go through some of the lines that we're going to see tomorrow, some of the team totals that are already out as of tonight. First game of the night, you've got Memphis at Indiana, 207 total in this one. Memphis favored by one here in this one on the road. Not really an interesting game to me for fantasy purposes. Should be paced down. Going to be kind of hard to predict. You got a lot of guys who are priced up, with the exception of Mike Conley. So not really too interested in that Memphis-Indiana game. Washington at Philly, 214 total in this one. Wizards favored by 7.5. No Joel Embiid. Nerlens Noel traded. So you've got Jahlil Okafor starting in center position, which means that you really want to get yourself some Marcin Gortat, for sure, no question. That is a kind of a must-have situation for Gortat. Boston at Toronto, 217 total here. Toronto favored by 3 at home. So Vegas is saying this is just a wash. This is just home court advantage for Toronto. Should be a very competitive game. Not a bad total. Not the highest total on the night, but in the top four totals of the night. So not bad at all. Of course, it's going to be a nice Eastern Conference competitive game in primetime. Should be a good game to watch. Miami at Atlanta, 207 total in this one. Atlanta favored by 3 at home. Another good competitive game. Not a great total, not a great target for fantasy purposes, as both teams are kind of would rather slow it down and grind it out. But you know, some viable targets in that game. Look for Josh Richardson to re-enter the lineup. So could bite into the rotation at shooting guard for Miami. And we're also keeping an eye on the return of Thabo Sefolosha. Sefolosha would change the situation for the Atlanta perimeter defense. We were definitely attacking Atlanta on the perimeter earlier, just a couple weeks ago. But no more if Sefolosha is a back, because he's a pretty solid perimeter defender. You've got Utah at Milwaukee. No serious injury news here. Rodney Hood possibly back in this one. you know, I'm kind of a stay away for me. I don't really love the Utah side of the ball. Some guys are priced up, and I don't mind Gobert, but I'm not really touching, you know, Giannis or anything like that. Chris Middleton is not really in a great spot just yet for me to start playing him. So staying away from that game. excuse me. The Lakers at OKC. This game is very interesting. 221 total. OKC favored by 10. No surprise there, but definitely a great opportunity for Russ. Enes Kanter coming back to practice, but I don't think he'll play. And of course, we've got the OKC trade in with Chicago. So we got to keep an eye on whether or not you know, Taj is going to play or Doug McDermott's going to. I don't think any of those guys will play just yet. I think that we'll probably see more than anything. We will probably see some of the. We probably won't see them until after the weekend, you know, to be completely honest with me. Sorry, I saw a push notification on my phone from Fantasy Labs. I was making sure no one was injured. I got distracted. Phoenix at Chicago. Injury news in this one, nothing to be concerned about. Dwayne Wade should be back here for the Bulls. And the Phoenix side of the ball, we're trying to figure out what's going to happen with no PJ Tucker in the lineup. Should be some more minutes for TJ Warren and some of the other younger guys. Who knows? Not really sure. We'll see what happens. At 216 total in that one, Chicago favored by 6.5 at home. Dallas at Minnesota, 203 total here. Minnesota favored by 3 at home. This game's kind of a stay away for me. I don't really know what to do with it. Could be a kind of a slow, grinded out type game, very similar to that Miami-Atlanta game. So don't know how much exposure I want to that. Brooklyn at Denver. Ooh, baby. 227 total in this one. Denver favored by 10 at home. Interested in looking at what happens with the Denver rotation tonight in Sacramento. They've got a lot of more healthy bodies back, but no Fareed. You know, I'm interested to see who's going to get the minutes. Is it going to be Gallo? Is it going to be Chandler, Barton, and Harris? How does that shake out? Is Moutier going to see the court? Is it going to be mostly Jameer Nelson? It'd be very interesting to see what happens. So keep your eye on the Denver rotations for a little bit more of an understanding of, you know, what we could see from Malone and the Nuggets. And the Clippers at, or excuse me, the San Antonio at the Clippers. No total in this one. Probably waiting to see whether or not Chris Paul is going to play. He did not play tonight, but he has been medically cleared to play. So, you know, definitely interested to see, you know, when Chris Paul returns. It's definitely going to change the composition of the Clippers, you know, probably in a good way. Definitely in a good way. Obviously, he's a player. He's a Hall of Fame player. Question is how does it affect the fantasy perspective? Sorry, guys. I just am losing my mind there. They're distracted right and left. I'm a little rusty, I guess, here. I'm also tilting this slate. I'm kind of freaking out. I'm hoping that this cash line doesn't go crazy in these two games coming up here. Anyway, that is enough about the Vegas, what Vegas has to say. I've got my man Josh Fernandez here to break down the Friday slate, the Friday player pool. We're going to give you guys some great opportunities, some great ideas about who you want to roster, help you build your lineups, get you started on your slate breakdown. So let's take a look at some of the players that we love. Who do you love? Oh, it is good to be back here with my man Josh Fernandez. Josh, how are you doing, my friend? I'm
good, Sean, man. I've missed you so much. I feel like we're like long lost friends that haven't talked to each other in years.
I know. We're basically
it's been a week.
We're DFS pen pals. Yeah.
We are.
I mean, and since we last spoke, you know, Boogie is traded to the Pelicans. The NBA has been flipped upside down by the trade deadline, and we found seven other planets where we could possibly find life in this universe. Dude, TRAPPIST-1. I saw you. We were talking about it on Twitter. Instant reaction. What the heck? This is amazing.
It is amazing. It's my instant reaction is that I know that there's like a shit ton of exoplanets that they know about already. And so some space elitists, geeks are going to be like, it's not that big of a deal. But it is a really big deal because, yeah. You know, these planets are as far as the scientists can tell, you know, they're like rocky Earth-like planets that may or may not have liquid water on them. And, you know, they're very promising. They're promising subjects to study, you know.
I know, man. Well, so in case anybody is just like, why are they talking about space? Am I on the wrong
podcast? Why the fuck not? Jesus, no. Guys. What's your problem? Stop judging us.
Well, I just want to be clear. If you missed it, NASA found a, and you're going to have to deal with my nerd here, right? You got two teachers here on the line as your hosts. Okay. So NASA found what is a dwarf star, right? So it's a small star, and it has basically seven planets very close by to it in what are considered the, quote, habitable zone, which means that they're within range of this star, that they aren't too hot and aren't too cold, like the Earth zone, like the Goldilocks zone, they call it. Not too hot, not too cold. So they could and will likely have water on them, which means that they could very likely have life, and NASA is going to be able to image and figure out whether or not these planets actually have life. And they're only – hey, Josh, I mean, they're only 40 light years away, dude.
Yeah, I mean, they're only – and I'm doing air quotes here right now. They're only 40 light years away, and, you know, like, here's the thing. I mean, 40 light years, like, yes, if we could travel the speed of light, it would be 40 years to get there. But, you know, the fastest – human spacecraft right now with current technology travels like 17,000 miles per hour. So I went on Quora and I found how long that would take to travel that distance at that speed. And it would be about 700,000 years. So yeah. But you know, you're right though, Sean, like that's pretty damn close. And you know, Give humanity another, what, 500,000, 2,000 years of advancing technology, and maybe we'll be ready to send some people over there.
Yeah, man. Very cool. All right. Sorry if you just clicked ahead in the podcast. We'll get to the part that you actually showed up for.
Whatever, guys. But, you know, seriously, grow up. All right? Grow up. You know, I'm going to come over there right now and sit down with you and geek out on YouTube videos for hours about space. Oh, man.
If you want YouTube videos, if you want space YouTube videos, at Josh Fern on Twitter. Josh Fern.
Do it. Do it. Go ahead. I dare you.
All right. So let's get into the NBA DFS slate, the other thing that we like to nerd out about. We're going to go through the top tier of players here. The lock and load segment, this is where we're going to sort through the studs for you guys on this Friday slate, try to figure out where you want to spend your money up. I'm going to take point guard and small forward, and I've got a couple center options for you. Josh is going to jump into shooting guard and power forward for us, and hopefully by the end of this, we'll be able to kind of create a nice core of players that you can feel comfortable rostering for Friday's slate. So Josh, I'll start it off here. Point guard, it's kind of a layup, no pun intended, but it's got to be Russ, man. Even at 12-7, Westbrook has the Lakers coming to OKC. Amazing matchup with LA coming off the break at home. He's going to see one of the best totals of the night. He's going to see one of the best paced games of the night. He's also got one of the best DVP situations for a stud on the slate. You know, Lakers are bottom five in the DVP. They just gave up 50 plus FD points to Eric Bledsoe in their last game before the All-Star break. And in two games this year, Russ has averaged 63 FanDuel points against the Lakers. Averaged. So that, I don't know, it means one time he probably scored more than 63. You know, the thing that you're probably concerned about is the price. I mean, but let's say he goes for 63 again. He's going to pay off that price. I mean, you love playing Russell Westbrook in a plus matchup for the security. It feels like an amazing spot to just lock him in and feel comfortable and not, you know, worry about the rest of your lineup. Russ is a lock. I really like him quite a bit. You know, you don't have to play him, but I think that a majority of people will figure out how to fit him in with this matchup. You know, it's easy. There's not a ton of, and Josh, I don't know, you're about to jump into shooting guard, but there's not a ton of studs that we absolutely love on this slate. There's a couple really standouts, but you could probably start with Russ and then just kind of find some nice mid-tier value there. What do you think about shooting guard?
Yeah, and real quick before I move on to shooting guard, when I saw Russ was facing LA, I just seriously got excited there. I mean, that's awesome. That's an awesome way to start, you know, the second. Well, I guess it's not really the second half because they got what, like 30 games left or something. But,
yeah,
25. Man, one thing.
I mean, who's counting? I'm counting.
You know what? I'm counting too, and it's bringing a tear to my eye because I wish it was more than that many games left. But whatever. But seriously, man, like one of the best ways I like to rationalize a guy with that kind of salary is just divide it in half. So his salary, if you divide it in half, you know, would be just, let's just say 6'4". Okay.
Right. Okay.
So from a 6'4", from a 6,400 player, you know, you want to get him, you know, in the 30 to 35 range, you know, for like 5X value. Okay. Well, just go ahead and double that, okay? And that's 60 to 70 points for 5X value. I mean, you didn't really have to do that to figure out what his value was, you know? But I like to do that to rationalize in my brain, like, to make me remind myself, like, there's a reason why he's 12-7. You're essentially getting two players, right? You're getting two 6K-ish players for one roster spot. So when in doubt about a guy like Russ or James Harden, you know, kind of do that little mini thought experiment there. I don't know. It's something that I do occasionally and I'm like, oh yeah, that's why I'm paying 12K for Russell Westbrook because he gives me 60 freaking points every night. So,
right. Exactly. No, yeah. No question.
All right. Yeah. As far as shooting guard goes, the quick answer to that is nobody. No one, because there's one player in this tier, and it's Giannis, and he's taking on freaking Utah. So, wait, did I say Utah? Oh, my goodness.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. Okay.
You were right. You're right.
Yeah. No, I looked. Okay. Anyways, yeah. He's taking on freaking Utah. What are you going to do? You're going to roster a shooting guard against Utah? Are you crazy? Why would you do that? Don't do that. Seriously? Are you clicking the button to do it? Stop it. Don't. Okay? Utah is unbelievable against shooting guards. They are giving up like 30 fantasy points to shooting guards more or less over their past five games, 29 over their past 10. They give up 25 fantasy points to small forwards over their past 5 to 10 games. So whether Giannis is lining up at the 2 or the 3, it really doesn't matter because Utah is just shutting wings down completely. Now you might say, okay, well, he's not just any old wing, you know, he's the Greek freak. Okay, fine. Let's just say that 28-ish, let's just say it's 28 fantasy points per game for wings. Let's say he outpaces that by like 50%, which is really liberal there. I mean, that's quite the outpacing. 50%. That's still 42 fantasy points, which at his salary of 10-4, you know, that's like 4X value, and that's not what we're looking for when we're paying up. We're not looking to roster 10K players and get 4X value back. That's just not going to work for us unless we're on like a tiny, you know, 2-game, 3-game slate and you just have to roster him. So I just don't see any reason whatsoever to use him. Even in a GPP, if I'm trying to be contrarian, I'm still not using him. It's just there's no reason. And if you look at his game logs, they're not that great, you know? I mean, so what makes you think that he's going to suddenly just like pop against Utah of all teams? So I'm staying completely away from Giannis, and I think you should too.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, that like, it's just as valuable to say stay away as it is to say lock and load. You know, I mean, that's kind of why, you know, you're not going to invest in a, you're not going to make a bad investment there. But all right, at small forward, I got a pretty good one here. Jimmy Butler at 9-3. He's got Phoenix coming to the United Center. Rock solid matchup. And here's what I really like. You know, you may be looking back at his game log against Phoenix. You know, he didn't have a wonderful game against Phoenix last time out. But remember, he was coming off the heel injury. He was kind of limited. And the thing that's most intriguing about this new look Phoenix is they don't have PJ Tucker in the lineup. Tucker is a plus defender. Okay. I looked into it. It's TJ Warren or PJ Tucker, right? With Warren on the court over Tucker, opponents have an average of 115 offensive rating. That's a massive number, okay? That's a huge number. That's like Phoenix is terrible at defense number. We just need to know that, okay? Defensive real plus minus, Warren is a negative 2.7, which puts him in like the bottom 50 plus range of small forwards, whereas Tucker was a plus 0.3. That's a huge 3-point margin, and Tucker as a plus defensive real minus defender puts him like in the top 25 in small forwards in the league. I mean, this is why Toronto went out and got him, you know, because he is a good defender, and in the Eastern Conference, you need somebody who can guard LeBron, and hey, that's going to be PJ Tucker, no question about it. So PJ Tucker, no longer with the team. TJ Warren defense doesn't scare me at all. Jimmy Butler has a really nice price. You know, I see at 9-3, you're asking for 46 FD points. Okay, well, he's averaged 44 in his last five games. He averages 43.8 at home. You know, 46 is not a crazy number in what should be a low defense, high pace affair. And a healthy Jimmy at home. I think that Jimmy at 9-3 is rock solid for cash games. He feels really, really nice to get you 45 points.
Yeah, it's a good call. You know, I kind of like Kawhi too, but I just think Jimmy is probably going to outpace him as far as value goes. So, yeah, that's definitely a good call. One of our guys that we definitely want to seriously consider paying up for at power forward is Nikola Jokic. I don't see why, you know, at 10-9 against Brooklyn, there needs to be very complex mathematical equations rolled out here, ladies and gentlemen.
You don't need an algorithm for this one.
No, there's no algorithm needed here. It's look at the internet page, look and see Brooklyn is there, and say, yes, please, right? Brooklyn, come on, guys. Okay, that sentence alone of Nikola Jokic against Brooklyn gives Sean a very special feeling in his tummy, all right?
Deep affection for Nikola Jokic.
There's a lot of affection for that man. So this is a dream matchup, all right? Freshly rested, you know, ready to just take over that team as his. I just don't see how Joker doesn't just come out of the gates and just destroys Brooklyn. I mean, DVP wise, we all know they're atrocious against pretty much every single position on the court. In fact, against opposing centers, and you know, again, we know that Jokic, most of us, I don't know if you don't know Nikola Jokic, he's power forward eligible, but the vast majority of the time he's lining up at the five. The Nets are giving up over 7.5% more fantasy points than average over the past 10 games. So compared to the rest of the 29 other NBA teams, you know, they're giving up over 7.5% more fantasy points than them. You know, I kind of think that that's an interesting way to rationalize, you know, the point differential between these teams. So clearly Brooklyn is just getting torn up by opposing centers, and they're actually worse against power forwards. I mean, power forwards are killing them even more. So if Jokic gets some minutes at the four, it's even better. You know, looking at his counterpart in this salary tier, Blake Griffin, there's pretty much zero reason to use Blake over Jokic, even though Blake is less in salary. I believe he is $1,200 less than Jokic. There's just no reason to use him. You've got Nikola Jokic against Brooklyn, and you have Blake Griffin against San Antonio, who's an elite defensive team. So at 10-9, we want mid-50s from Jokic for him to really pay off. And if you look at his game logs, that seems really probable, especially given this opponent. So I think he's a safe bet for 5X, maybe 5.5X. If he can get over 60, which, you know, again, I don't see why Denver doesn't just unleash him on the Nets and let him run wild.
Yeah, I think that's a really – it's obviously a very appealing matchup on paper. I think I'm interested, Josh, though, like tonight we're going to see Denver at Sacramento, and we're going to see, you know, Jokic, Plumlee. We're going to see Chandler and Gallo, and we're going to see Harris and Barton, and we're going to see all those guys healthy. You know, I think the only thing that makes me concerned is that if we see Jokic tonight in Sacramento – go out there and he only gets, you know, 27 minutes or something, you know, and they roll over the Kings, you know, 27 minutes. He's splitting time with Mason Plumlee. They seem to be, you know, giving him a little bit of a break here, trying to pump the brakes. He's, you know, they've got a full rotation. That's when I would be cautious about Jokic, because remember, he was getting, we want him to get over 30 minutes, but I totally agree. The matchup is so delicious and wonderful. Mid-50s is so easy against Brooklyn. I love that call.
Yeah, you know, and yes, they're on a back-to-back. And, you know, as far as, like, you know, that goes, I mean, that's definitely something to consider. But as everybody knows, you know, well, I mean, Jokic did participate in All-Star weekend, so it's not like he had complete rest and relaxation. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you just look at the standings, I mean, Denver, yeah, they're in the 8 seed right now, and they're kind of like jockeying for position with, like, you know, half a dozen other teams. I mean, do they want to get in to the playoffs? Sure, of course, anyone would love to get in. But at the end of the day, I mean, this is not a season where Denver is eyeing a deep run into the playoffs, and I just think that they want to – you know, I don't think they're interested in giving Jokic extra rest, because there's just, I don't see any plausible reason for them to do so. So I don't know. As long as he's healthy, I just think he's going to get, you know, a lot of run each night. I could be wrong. You know, we have to just wait and see. But, you know, tread lightly in certain aspects of this situation for sure, I guess.
I hear that. That's a good call. All right, it's center. Josh, you took the top tier centers here. I took the mid tier centers. What do you think? What do you think about center tonight?
So center, sort of like shooting guard, though not as pronounced as shooting guard, because I think Giannis is a straight fade. At center, you got a few guys up there. You got leading the pack. You've got Kat taking on Dallas. Dallas did just pick up Nerlens Noel. I don't know. Tell me, Sean, how is Noel's defense? I'm not too keen on that.
He's better than Okafor, but he's still pretty fragile. I mean, just in general, their front court defense was not great. He's okay, you know, but I don't think they'll play Noel right away. I think honestly they'll continue their lineup. But yeah, you're right. Dallas is very stingy against the center. And I think it's just because, you know, pace down, they will pack it in. Carlisle likes to pack it in there.
Yeah, they definitely sell out to stop centers.
Exactly. And they'll let people shoot the three on them. You know, they will tempt you to shoot the three, but they will lock down the interior, which is kind of the Carlisle style. So, you know, I agree. I'm not touching Cat against Dallas.
Yeah. And as far as Whiteside goes, I know you feel opposite of, Jokic when it comes to Whiteside. You despise him. He's not your favorite person.
I hate Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a big jerk. He has a moderately tough match with Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta, like, I think a lot of people have this misconception about them that they're not good altogether defensively. They get torn up by wings, but they're pretty good against bigs, pretty good against bigs. So, you know, and honestly, like, he is way overpriced. I don't know why the hell he's 9K. I mean, I know that he has these periods over the last couple years where he's just gone nuts and just been putting up 50s. But honestly, like the last, I don't know, what, like 6 to 8 weeks? I mean, it's been, you know, little islands of 40, 50 point nights and then an ocean of 25 to 30 point nights. So, dude needs to be priced like way down, like 800, 1,000, 1,200 less than he is right now.
Yeah, I'm not touching that.
No, don't touch him. And speaking I don't know what I was going to say there. Speaking of other centers, I don't know why is Hassan Whiteside priced more than Mark Gasol? I think that's a huge injustice. I would much rather roster Mark Gasol, you know, all things being equal. And he's taking on Indiana. That's another team who's average against centers like Atlanta. But over the last 10 games, they're really hunkering down and they're doing a good job of holding centers back. You know, they're actually keeping centers to 10% less fantasy production to that position relative to the league average in both the 5-game and 10-game time frames. So for the season, they're average, but the last 5 to 10 games, they've really been shutting centers down. So I'm a little weary of using Marc Gasol. So considering these three situations, the matchups, the players, the prices, no thank you. I'm going to move on from this tier of center and look for value elsewhere. Sean, I'm not sure how you feel about that. I just don't think paying up for center tonight is the prudent decision.
Yeah, I think that the only guy who has anything attractive to me about what he's got is Marc Gasol. It's just a plus matchup with Indiana, but like, I just, Mark, you haven't seen a ceiling from him, and I'll wait for Marc Gasol to have a really juicy matchup for me to roster him in the right price. But at 8.5, you're right. A lot of these guys are just overpriced. I think moving into the mid tier of center is a little bit more interesting. You've got, you know, Rudy Gobert in an interesting matchup. You've got Marcin Gortat, Steven Adams. So we'll talk about those guys in a second. So let's move on to the mid tier players here. The fantasy grout, the guys that you're going to fill in around your studs, we'll offer you a couple different, maybe two at each position, one at each position, to try and help you flesh out the rest of your lineup. At point guard, I got two options for you, Josh. I got our boy, friend of the podcast, Mike Conley, at 7.5. He's going to Indiana. And then Jameer Nelson at 5.6. He's borderline value play, but Jameer Nelson has, kind of get himself into that mid-tier now. Conley has seeing a Pacers backcourt that's just really struggled and given up a lot of production to point guards recently. Great DVP situation against Jeff Teague. They're bottom five against point guard in the last 5 games. He gave up 47 points to the position recently. He's priced to hit 37. The 7.5 is an excellent price for Mike Conley, given, you know, his season averages, normal production. You really like him in this D-plus matchup against Jeff Teague. You know the minutes are there. You know it's nice that he's getting the rest. Road versus home, not really a thing for Conley. So great situation for Mike Conley if you find yourself spending up off of Russ. I think Conley is in play as a mid-tier value or GPP option. And then, you know, the other one is obviously Jameer Nelson against Brooklyn. We love targeting point guards against Brooklyn. They're just terrible against the point guard, and they're going to struggle on the road in altitude even more. Nelson's only priced to hit 28 FanDuel points, and basically since he's taken over that starting role, Josh, he's hit over 30 in 4 of those 5 starts. And, you know, I don't know if that's a symptom of the situation necessarily, like a symptom of the fact that there was a ton of injured Nuggets. You know, I'd like to think that that's more of a symptom of the fact that, you know, he's just been rock solid and really, really, really productive. I hope, you know, we see him again tonight against Sacramento, you know, get good production, 25 plus points. But, you know, who knows? We'll know more after tonight. You know, I think a more full rotation, again, this is like the same thing we talked about Jokic. More full rotation in Denver may mean less usage for some of these key core players, but, you know, I love the price, I love the matchup, and I love the recent production for Nelson. So
yeah, I mean, and Nelson, you know, he's an old fella. I mean, he's 35. You know, I heard you recently. I listened, and you mentioned Kyle Lowry is an older guy. You know, at 31 or 32. Jameer Nelson is ancient for basketball at 35, which makes me feel really old because I'm pushing him pretty close, but damn it. But I mean, you know, there's something that can be said for a veteran point guard leading an up and coming young team. And right. I think that there's a lot of comfort with Jameer Nelson kind of running the show there as the maestro versus Emmanuel Mudiay, who is far, far away from Jameer Nelson's aptitude for leading an offense. So, you know, he's just, I think he's just got nothing to lose, and he's just playing really well. And I just don't see, I mean, I've been rostering him like every other night. So,
yeah, I agree. I think it's, you know, and I don't think we're chasing anything here necessarily. No. It feels right. In this situation. So, you know, I like Jameer. What about shooting guard, Josh?
I'm all about Dion Waiters. I mean, at 7,300 against Atlanta, I am pretty sure he is going to start trending up in salary pretty soon. To me, he should be in the, I guess I can't remember what CJ McCollum was priced at. Thursday night, I want to say he was in the 8K range. But I kind of feel like Dion Waiters is in that zone of like 7.8 to 8.2. So I like to get on board with players when I'm sensing they're going to start trending up and just ride that. Cause I think Dion, he's healthy now. You know, he's had rest. He's clearly carved out a niche in Miami. He's comfortable there. You know, he hasn't had a home that he could say he's the leader in quite, right. I don't know if ever in his career. So I think he's there to stay as far as I can tell in Miami. And you know, I think that narrative is something that people should consider as they think about Dion Waiters rest of season. So starting tonight, I think that's when this upward trend really truly begins for him. And it couldn't be a better matchup against Atlanta because they're just horrific against wings. And I'm pretty sure that he's going to get more looks than Roddy Magruder, ladies and gentlemen. So yeah, Dion Waiters is going to have quite a night, I think. You know, Atlanta, they can't handle wings. I mean, if Dion can take 15 to 20 shots, I really think he's going to give like 5.5 to 6x value, like low 40s. Yeah. I just don't see why he's going to not just be given the damn ball and let, you know, and just let it rip.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The only caution that I would have is, we got to keep an eye on the Thabo Sefolosha news. Yes. A lot of that wing production came with Sefolosha out of the lineup with, because of the groin. So if Sefolosha is, you know, limited or not in, fire up your Waiters. But I think you take a little bit of caution if he's going to return, because he can defend and he'll close out shooters. And it's not that Waiters can't score. It's just that you want him in a perfect situation and at that price. And it is a perfect situation if Sefolosha is out.
And yeah, so if you're getting a little Sefolosha anxiety, you could look to Dwayne Wade. Is Dwayne Wade, is he healthy? I didn't check. But he's got Phoenix and they're not that good against shooting guards either. So,
I agree. That's a decent call.
Because I'm definitely not nearly as interested in Bradley Beal. I mean Philadelphia, you know, whatever, they're Philly, but I mean they really haven't been that bad against shooting guards. I mean, in fact, they've been playing their best of the season against the position in their last five games. So you know, I mean, it's just, I think Waiters is far more attractive. But yeah, if Sefolosha's back, I mean, one of the best wing defenders in the league, you know, you got to definitely keep that in mind.
I hear you. I hear you. All right. A small forward. This is not a great price range for small forward. I'm going to be really straightforward with you guys. You know, you've got Gordon Hayward priced up at 7-8. But, you know, the thing we have to remember about Hayward is normally we would, okay, you know, in a previous life, we would have attacked the, we would have been very comfortable attacking the three against Milwaukee. But the reality is Giannis has switched over to guard the three, and they've barely given up any production since Giannis started to do that to that position. So, you know, you don't want to force Hayward into your lineup, especially if you want to try to get Jimmy in there. You know, so you go down to a guy like, you know, you've got Otto Porter and Robert Covington. Well, they're guarding each other, so they kind of cancel each other out as all-around do-all types, you know. Paul George, okay. I'm not in love with it. The price is not ideal, you know. And I don't know. I mean, honestly, given his, like, trade and contract situation, I don't know how much production we're going to see from Paul George here. He's not happy in Indiana. He told them, and they made him stay, so... not a great situation. But anyway, so then you go down and you've got Wilson Chandler and Jay Crowder. They're interesting to me. Chandler at 6'6 and Crowder at 5'8. Nah, they're okay. You know, I think Chandler probably has the best situation based on matchup against Brooklyn. You know, if Fareed continues to sit out, Chandler sees minutes at the four, which is really nice. You know, especially if they want to go small ball, if they want to go pace up, which they can do with Brooklyn. So he could see 30 minutes. You know, I think we'll wait and see tonight, see what he gets against Sacramento. It's a great matchup on paper. You know, the threes against Brooklyn are absolutely a great matchup, a very reasonable price for Chandler. 33 FD points is an easy number for him to hit. We know he's got a 40-point ceiling. You know, so it's a good situation for sure. You know, the rotation does feel crowded. I'm interested to see what happens tonight. I won't force it, but, you know, I'm okay with Chandler. I'm okay with Jay Crowder to some degree. When he's below 6K, I think he's in play. Problem is Jay Crowder really doesn't show you much ceiling. You know, he's going to get you, I guarantee he'll get you between 20 and 29 FanDuel points tomorrow night. I don't know which one it'll be, though. You know, if it's 29, you'd say, okay, that's pretty good. I'll take that for 5-8. But if it's 20, which he could just as easily do, you know, you're killing yourself with that price. So I don't know, Crowder. I think I'm going to spend down at this power, at this small forward too. It just doesn't feel like a price range that's very viable tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think at this point in the season, this is when you can really do the studs and scrubs kind of strategy, because there's so much value that's opened up and pricing is slow to catch up, especially on FanDuel compared to DK. So, you know, Jay Crowder is just one of those guys that for me, like he's more of like a December, January kind of guy when pricing is tighter and rotations are tighter and you are looking for more safety. But right now, I mean, like, yeah, it's not a bad matchup. I agree. And he's not a terrible player. But like you said, I mean, he's like just a boring 30 point, you know, kind of option. So I just don't think
that 30 points is like a ceiling game for him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's one thing if you're getting 30 points from him at 5K, but, you know, at his salary, you know, at 5'8", you know, 6K probably pretty soon here. You know, it fluctuates depending on the matchup. And no thanks. So, but, you know, if worse comes to worse and you have to use him, it's not a terrible selection. He's going to give you something.
I hear you for sure.
Yeah. So as far as power forward goes, I'm looking at a matchup duo here. Markieff Morris versus Dario Saric. 7,100 for Markieff, 6,200 for Dario. They're going to be squaring off in Philly. It's a very nice matchup for both players. I like Markieff, you know, especially for cash games, because he just returns a nice, reliable, you know, 5X most nights. You know, he's typically in the mid 30 range. you know, very rarely is he much more, very rarely is he much less. You know, occasionally he'd give you 40, you know, sometimes high 20s, but most of the time he settles in that mid five, mid 30 range. So I like him, you know, solid, safe play. But Saric, on the other hand, I think he's the better play because he's just poised to really pop. I mean, he's going to break out. He's just been killing it value wise. He scored well over 30 points in three straight games, and he had a 40 pointer recently too. I don't have the game log right in front of me, and I'm not going to go look it up right now, but you know, you can trust me on that. But, as most of us know, Nerlens and Ilyasova, they're out of town via trade. So Saric is going to get the lion's share of the minutes now. His salary has popped. He went from high fours to low fives, and then boom, all of a sudden, 6'2". And, you know, that's not a surprise, and frankly, that's fair. At 6'2", 35 points, which is what he's been getting regularly lately, that's 5.6x value, 5.5x value. But I see him having legit 7x upside. He only needs to get a little bit over 40 to get 7x. And okay. I just don't really see that as a crazy proposition. The Wizards' Achilles heel is power forward. He's turning into one of Philly's most reliable offensive weapons. So I just don't really see a reason not to use him. And I feel really comfortable with Dario and, you know, to a lesser degree, Markieff. But Dario, like, let's go. I'm feeling great.
Yeah, I think Dario has just primed for a massive, you know, bump in responsibility, really. I mean, and that's good stuff. You want that those extra minutes and those extra that extra space in the rotation. So, all right, moving on to center. I've got a couple options here for us, Josh. I mentioned Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is definitely in play for me. He has a great matchup with that Milwaukee front court. You know, they've just been pretty poor against the center recently. Gobert is priced reasonably. His price kind of never moves. Because he doesn't really always flash a ceiling. He's had a couple ceiling games this year, but at 7'6", you know, you're kind of like, okay, I don't know. We'll see where you get. You know, is he going to get you? Will he get you 40? And I'm not sure he will. You know, last time out against Milwaukee, he did have 46. That was that ceiling game. So you don't mind Gobert in this situation at all. It's advantageous for him for sure. But you also have Marcin Gortat, who has an amazing matchup against the 76ers front court. They're allowing the league worst 50-plus points to position via DVP. No Nerlens, no Embiid. You know, Okafor is going to get the lion's share of the minutes against Gortat, and he just can't guard anyone. And he's definitely not going to be able to stop Gortat from rebounding. I love the price. I love the matchup. He feels like a lock to me. You know, I think Steven Adams is also interesting. I keep talking about him, and he keeps biting me in the ass. He keeps busting whenever I talk about him, but great matchup with the Lakers in this situation. You like that he will have, that Lakers front court, which really isn't much of anything to be worried about. And we know Adams can be an easy double-double guy, no question. So good spot for Steven Adams at 6K. You know, Gortat at 7K, really great. Adams at 6K, very good, and Gobert at 7'6". You know, I kind of take your pick. Whichever one falls to you in lineup construction, I think you take them and you're good with it.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, I definitely like Gortat against Philly. I mean, you know, there's no reason to fade him in that situation. I'm feeling Marcin for sure. I like him a lot. And Steven Adams, I mean, you know, when he shows up, I mean, he can get well over 40 points and, gets the Lakers. I mean, they're the Brooklyn Nets of the West. So roll him out there. He's got a nice mustache.
The Brooklyn Nets of the West. Oh, my gosh. Brooklyn Nets, West Coast. That's
copyright 2017. Josh Fernandez. All rights reserved.
All rights reserved for sure, dude. You got that. That was amazing. Lock that in. Lock that in. Well done, sir. All right. Well, how about the bargain basement? Let's dive down in there to the bargain basement. At point guard, this sounds crazy. We never say this. There's like nothing down here. I mean, look for yourself. You know, it really does not feel like there is any solid value at point guard in the 5K range. I'm really not very pleased with what I see in this situation. So I'm really not going to, you know, I think if I go with Russ, that's fine. And then I'll take one of the other guys we talked about, maybe a Nelson or something like that. But I mean, you're really getting pretty dicey if you're thinking about rolling out a Brogdon or a Moutier or a Rondo, Deron Williams now on the Cavs, which, by the way, can you believe that shit? I mean, give me a break. Could the Cavs have gotten any luckier? A veteran, former all-star point guard gets bought out of his contract. They need a second unit point guard desperately. And they walk into Deron Williams, who wants to go to a team where he's going to have a chance to compete.
So tell me this, is there a waivers rule in the NBA or no?
I don't know how it works compared to, I mean, I don't know if he's on waivers because I think he hasn't been waived. I think he got bought out. He asked for a buyout, and the buyout, whatever the buyout clause in his contract was fine for Dallas. And they said, sure, go for it. You know, and he probably had been contacted on the side by Cleveland or Cleveland representatives or somebody in Cleveland, you know, and knew that that was going to be a possibility. And he said, hey, you know, if you guys want to go Yogi, if you want to go with J.J. Barea, you want to go young, you know, will you let me down easy and let me sign on with the Cavs and make a run at the finals? And I mean, good gracious, that's just such a huge acquisition for the Cavs.
They had a roster spot.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. Deron Williams is going to make that second unit so good. Anyway. It's
ridiculous. I don't see how they don't take home another title. I mean, that addition. I mean, there's a lot of legitimate competition out there. I mean, the Warriors, obviously, of course. You know, I mean, my Washington Wizards, come on. They got Bojan Bogdanovic. Come on, dude.
Oh, yeah. Bojan.
I'm Bojangling for some
Bojangles. Have you ever had Bojangles?
Have I? I went to East Carolina University, dude. That was like my Tylenol for my hangovers was.
Oh God!
Yeah, buddy. Oh, bacon, so egg, and cheese biscuits and some sweet tea.
Most dangerous drink in the world is sweet tea and vodka.
I've never tried that. I don't think I ever will.
Oof, man. It's just
I remember coming from Maryland, so this was foreign to me, but all I remember was going there. Well, it's not all I remember, but that's a bit of hyperbole. But one of the things I remember is going to Bojangles and just seeing like all these old people, like 70-year-old men at like 6:30 in the morning just sitting around smoking cigarettes in the restaurant. It was really weird. Yeah. Like, what are these people doing smoking cigarettes in a Bojangles? But that's the South for you.
Everybody, hey man, you got to start your day somewhere, and a cigarette and a
tiny little old man coffee. Old men love tiny coffees too. What's up with that?
Well, if you drink coffee for 16 hours a day, you start drinking coffee at 4 a.m., you know? That's kind of where you're at. Anyway, all right, we digress.
Yes.
Let's talk about value shooting guards.
Let's. So, there's some value shooting guards like below 5K. You know, I mean, you got like Tony Allen and maybe like Rodney Hood. He's back to health. You know, Danny Green is a little interesting. But I'm going to like kind of break the rules and go up a little bit because I feel like you have to talk about Gary Harris. He needs to be mentioned. We could have said him in the last segment, but, you know, we didn't. So here we are. He's at 5'2". He's taking on Brooklyn. The Garrister, as I like to call him. I just made that up. So I don't know. Credit to me again for that original one. outstanding play tonight. Outstanding play against Brooklyn. Who the hell is playing shooting guard for Brooklyn? Joe Harris or that other guy or the other dude or Randy Foy or the other stupid person. It doesn't matter. I mean, he's going to get like 30 something minutes. He's going to get a gaggle of random guys coming at him. So there's going to be no continuity in who's guarding him. I think he's just going to have a really nice night. I like to look at the Nets like toilet paper. Okay. They're like that one ply stuff that tears apart really easily. And you have to unroll like, you know, like a giant handful of, at public bathrooms. Okay.
I hear you.
On the other hand, you got like Utah Jazz, and they're like the equivalent of, you know, that really expensive Charmin Ultra Soft 2-ply, like pillow like toilet paper. So if you look, yeah, it's the good, that's the good stuff, Sean. That's the good stuff. But if you're looking at it from a DVP standpoint, like you could flip it and say that Utah is like the bad toilet paper and Brooklyn is the good toilet paper. I think like Utah is like eating cold McDonald's hamburgers and Brooklyn is like eating a succulent, juicy Five Guys double bacon cheeseburger. I've got more metaphors. I could just keep going on.
We have a lot of food takes tonight.
Brooklyn is just target them, guys. Like every time I'm on this show, I'm always targeting Brooklyn. And it's just a strategy that you don't have to get too cute with. Like an NBA DFS, DVP is huge. And you just want to target. It's just like targeting running backs against the 2016 49ers. Like, just do it. Come on. So Gary Harris, don't use Giannis or Chris Middleton. Okay. Use Gary Harris.
That's a very, very good call. All right. Let's look at small forward here. TJ Warren, nice price, 5K. Moving on to that first unit. No PJ Tucker. We already talked about Peach. It's no longer Peach and Teej. It's just Teej. I like him quite a bit. It's not a great matchup at Chicago, but okay, you know, the price is good. You know, I ask in 25 points from an offensive-minded scorer in a pace-up game. That's not crazy. The other one that I really like is Andre Roberson. Roberson at 4-4. He's got the Lakers. Great matchup. Seeing increased production and increased offensive role. He's had a couple games over 20, 25 points recently. You know, he's priced extremely well, you know, and should have a really nice opportunity against the small forward position here at the Lakers. He's averaged 21 this year against the Lakers in his two previous matchups. So, you know, I think that Roberson is a nice value play that you could feel like might be low owned because he's not a very trendy name. He just is in a good situation and, okay, he gets you 5X and you move on. You know, I don't mind that at all. But let's talk power forward here, Josh.
Yeah, power forwards, there's a few guys who interest me. You know, I kind of like the idea of using Domantas Sabonis at almost min-sal. I know Taj Gibson's on the team now, Oklahoma City. But he's probably not going to suit up. I don't think he's going to suit up quite yet. Needs to get a little bit of time with the team. So Sabonis should get another 25-minute outing. I'm kind of scared that he'll just give me those 18 boring points. But again, you know, 3.6 salary. You know, that's about 5X value. So I don't know. Meh. I give it a big meh. But, yeah. You know, then there's also like Wancho against Brooklyn. You know, I don't know what to make of him. There's that stupid 40-point game that fucked up everyone's minds. Then there was a 9-point game the next night that also fucked up everyone's minds. So what is the average of 40 and 9? It's about 24.5. So if you can give me 24.5 from Wancho, I'll take it. That's fine with me. But I don't know. Again, it's like, meh. I don't know what to think because, you know, your boy Chandler might be getting a lot of run at the four. You know, Fareed, I don't know what his status is. So, eh. I like Bobby Portis a lot, though, because, you know, Taj Gibson, he's gone now. Mirotić, we don't know what his health status is. Doesn't have a lot of competition at the four. He's 4-2, taking on Phoenix. They're not good against power forwards. He's nothing special. He's not a great player. He's not a very good NBA player. But, you know, right now for 2016, second half of a arguably non-competitive team, you know, he's carving out a role. I mean, and for daily fantasy use, it's a solid play. So Bobby Portis, you know, I mean, maybe Mirotić can get more run, but again, he's not completely healthy for sure yet. So right. I think for tomorrow night, at least, Portis should be a lock for like 28, 30, maybe even more minutes than that. You know, at 4-2, 25 points, fantasy points, that's over 7x value. So last time I checked, that was that was pretty good. That's pretty good value for him. So Bobby Portis, boys and girls. He's not Clinton Portis. He's Bobby Portis.
Clinton Portis. Bobby Portis. And well, it's interesting. If you follow all of the Bulls beat writers out there and read their tweets religiously like I do, you will see that, you know, the front office made a big like statement today about how, you know, after the trade deadline, about how basically they're committing to like their young core to try to see who's going to work out. They're committing to these short term contracts. They're going to try to get guys minutes in order to develop talent there, and see who, you know, who they can build with and who they can build upon. So, you know, it should be interesting. We'll see what Portis has to offer.
Yeah, I doubt that he's like the starting four in 2017, 2018 season. But for right now, like, you know, he's the guy probably maybe. So, you know, jump on the bandwagon for DFS purposes for the short term.
Yep, absolutely. Why not? All right. And at center, I think the mid tier is so good that you don't really want to spend down. But I think it's Olynyk is still in play at 4-9. You know, he's going to see these Raptors, the new look Raptors, which, you know, are definitely defensively better, but he's been pretty solid on the second unit for the Celtics, and he's actually been getting a lot of minutes, 25 plus minutes in the last five games. You know, a couple games where we've seen him over 20, over almost flirting with 30 fantasy points. So, you know, Olynyk, if you have to, Olynyk is okay. I'm not really going to touch Okafor against Gortat. I don't love that situation. He's another value option. He'll be getting a lot of minutes. He'll be pretty popular. But I just don't know how talented he is, to be completely honest with you. And I don't think that he should, I don't think he'll be in a good situation there. So, you know, Olynyk it is, if you really want to go with that. I'm not in love with it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like the greatest play, but you know, like you said, I mean, he's a legitimate part of that rotation now, and he's there scoring big. I mean, Al Horford, I don't know what his deal is, but I think he's kind of cooked. So, yeah, I like Kelly.
Yeah, I don't know what Al Horford's story is, but it's kind of depressing. Almost as depressing as this Houston-New Orleans score. We thought Boogie in the Brow would really be bringing it in.
You know
New
what
Orleans.
I thought of when you said Boogie in the Brow? It just what? All of a sudden in my head it went Boogie in the Brow. You like that?
I mean, I love that. And I love Boogie in the Brow. I just, you know, like they're getting their lunch money taken from them.
Give them like five games just to kind of settle in. I mean, just, dude, it's freaking DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis front court. That's ridiculous. What is that? And Drew Holiday is no slouch. I mean, that's, geez, man, that's nuts.
Yeah. Drew Holiday has less than 9 fantasy points right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't have my live stream up, but that's crazy.
He's getting the Pat Bev treatment.
P-Bev. That's a good point.
He likes his beverages.
he likes his beverages warm with flat with cigarette butts in the can.
Yeah, it's not a good situation if you're on the opposite side. Let's go into a lineup lock here, Josh. Let's figure out where we're going to start. Now, one of the things that I want to do, I did on today's show, is talking about like creating a core. So, you know, our top four favorite players, the ones that we're going to really like lock in here, maybe a stud, maybe a lock value, and then, you know, two guys in the mid tier. So let's start with our core four. Who do you think stands out as, you know, one of the top four plays on the board or that we just kind of have to go with?
I mean, you got to start off with Russ. I mean,
I think you're right.
This is like a dream matchup. And you start with Russ and you try to build with him, maybe another stud in there if you can. And if you got to reevaluate later, you do it. But start with Russ.
Yeah, I mean, a single stud strategy is always a viable way to try to get yourself up to 300. You know, it's not crazy to go single stud, you know, and then just build from there. So, all right, let's go on. Let's try and find maybe a value play to kind of counterbalance that. Who's one of your favorite values on the board tonight, you think?
I feel really comfortable with Gary Harris. He seems right to me. Nice matchup, nice fast paced game. So, you know, Gary Harris at 5'2", I like that.
Yeah, I don't mind Harris at all.
Did you just give me two in a row like a gentleman?
Well, I'm just trying to be a good host and involve you, you know?
Oh, man, that's so nice.
Thank you. All right. Now let's see if maybe we can get another value, kind of mid-tier value play in here so that we can feel like maybe, you know, we have some flexibility to work with some of our other prices. I guess Jameer Nelson or.
I like Jameer. I like Jameer. Yeah. I feel like at that price point, like, you know, it's nice. I want to get as many guys when I roster Russ, you know, or James Harden, like I want to get as many of the better five under 6K guys I can in that lineup. And I don't want to like dick around too much with the 3K guys. If I don't have to, I just like Jameer. I think Jameer tonight is going to really give like serious return on value. Like, okay. I mean, so let's do it.
All right. So I like Jameer as well. So let's get Jameer. And then I think let's go with your boy, Bobby Portis. And that's going to basically let us open up the rest of the board for a lot of the mid-tier plays. We're at 6'4 per position now, and we have five more spots to fill. So the kind of the core four that we're building with is Russ, and then three value plays to go with that: Jameer Nelson, Gary Harris, and Bobby Portis. And now we can spend above 6K more or less for all the rest of our plays. So I'm gonna go with Gortat. Right now, you know, maybe if Gobert, if we have some money left at the end, I'll upgrade to Gobert, but I'm going to start with Gortat at 6'8".
Okay. So Gortat at 6'8". Then I'm going to go ahead and let me just put Gortat in here into my lineup. I'm going to go with Dario Saric.
Nice. I like that call. Dario.
Dario. What do you know, Dario?
Super Dario is in there. Let's see if we can fill up this other small forward, or excuse me, this other shooting guard position. Oh, interesting. Shooting guard is tough tomorrow night.
I mean, I know you said that there's the potential of Thabo Sefolosha coming back. You know, pencil in Dion Waiters, maybe.
Yeah. I think let's pencil in Dion Waiters. I don't mind Bradley Beal either.
No,
I think he can outduel them. So if we know we can go to Bradley Beal at 7'1", if we need $200 there, that's okay.
I'm wondering. All right. I'm wondering about like Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, actually, Depot. Oh, that's a great call, dude. Depot at 6K against the Lakers. That's not bad at all.
Yeah,
we can do Depot
and,
at 6K.
And you know, he's volatile, but he does have serious like 40 to 50 point upside.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I like that call quite a bit. We also keep Chris Middleton watch on your radar here
against Utah. You
know, he's going to be. Well, not against Utah, but in general. I mean, he had, He had massive minutes and points the other night against Brooklyn. So
yeah, dude, I love Chris Middleton, man. Like a couple of years ago, he was, I mean, last year definitely, but like a couple of years ago, I learned of the legend of Middleton, and he's a stud.
Yeah, for sure.
So who are we locking in? We're putting in Depot, or
let's go with Depot. Let's see where we get here.
Okay.
I would love to be able to get to Jimmy. Oof.
Yeah.
We need,
because we've got hold up. I forgot to put Bobby Portis in.
All right. Okay, so here's the rub.
Go ahead.
You ready? If we go with Jimmy and we go with Roberson, who we both like, we need $300.
So we gotta go find that happens, man. Shit.
I know. You get so close to what you want and then it just doesn't work.
4K. Who can we? I mean, we can use your boy Jingles.
Jingle Bear?
But Jingle Bear
isn't gonna play if
If Rod Hood.
If Rodney Hood's back. So let's look to maybe get off Depot. Let's see if we can get off Depot to another guy who has 30-point potential.
So then let's go ahead and put Roberson in.
Yeah, Roberson in.
Put Roberson in. Andre Roberson. So we are at 5,700.
Not great. Not great here. The whole that price range is not wonderful.
I mean, you got, you know, Tony Allen against Indy. I mean, I'm assuming that Monte Ellis is going to continue his usage.
Yeah, that's true. I just don't like his matchup.
I'm not looking to roster him. I'm saying as, you know, Tony Allen, you know, might get extra peripherals if Monte is looked at to shoulder more of the load as he has been as of late.
Right. I hear that.
But, you know, it's Tony Allen. Like, fuck a Tony Allen. I don't like that.
Can we get down off of Saric? Or should we stay with Saric?
We could. What are we looking at? Let me see. I mean, there's a crap load of players below Saric that are viable.
Oh, here we go. I got it. You ready?
Go ahead.
We'll go down to Steven Adams.
Okay.
We'll leave Butler. We'll leave Roberson. We'll leave Saric. Okay. And that's going to leave us 6,500, which is going to put us, it's going to put us on either Will Barton or Oladipo. Who do you like?
Well, Will Barton is, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's primarily playing the three. Yes.
Yes, correct.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
That was when they had all those injuries. So I don't mind Barton at all. At 64.
I don't mind him either. But now we're really heavy on Nuggets front court. Or backcourt, excuse me.
Backcourt, that's true. Yeah. Well, okay, we're going to have to make some edits, that's for sure. We'll toy with it. But I think for a good starting point for people to get a sense of where we're at, shooting guard definitely seems to be the hardest spot to figure out.
The benefit to doing this Oladipo move is that we have 500 left on the table, which I always like. I love like leaving like $400, $500, $600 on the table. Because it's just it's inconsequential. It really is. Like $500, like people shit their pants over like leaving $100 on the table. Like it's $500, even $1,000 sometimes is really not a deal whatsoever to worry about. What that does is it differentiates you from people, because the vast majority of contestants are like trying to squeeze out every dollar illogically. Like there's just no reason to squeeze out every dollar. You know,
yeah, I hear that. That's a really good call.
So if we did this one with Depot, we're in an interesting like differentiation circumstance.
Okay, good call. So yeah, you could do that for sure. All right, so the lineup that we have so far is
the rough draft, guys.
is Russ, Jameer Nelson, Gary Harris, Depot, or Barton, whoever you feel like. Butler, Roberson, Portis, Saric, and Steven Adams. Now, I'll obviously going to make some edits. We don't even have Friday news right now, but that's where we'll start, and that's where we'll work from as we go into the Friday slate. If you guys have questions for us, you can find us on Twitter. Josh, where can people find you?
Yeah, man, they could find me, Josh Fern, at Josh Fern, J-O-S-H-F-E-R-N. You could find me on my podcast, DFS Chats, at DFS, C-H-A-T-S. Going to be coming out on Monday with an interview with our buddy from Fantasy Forecast, Ben Joyce, one of the co-founders. So pretty excited about that. So stay tuned for that, guys. And yeah, if you're interested in, you know, chatting about DFS with me, give me a holler.
Yes, absolutely. Check out DFS Chats. Really nice, Josh, like really nice interviews, strategy talks, just cool stuff. Talking to a lot of cool people from the industry. Hit Josh up with that. Check that out for sure. No question, it's worth tuning in for. You can find me, Hey Mr. Kane, on Twitter. Please subscribe, rate, review the podcast. And guys, good luck on the Friday slate. Good luck tilting this Thursday slate tonight. Really nice that we just got some we got some overtime in OT in Charlotte and Detroit. So, hey, Kemba Walker, thank you for doing wonderful things for my lineup. all right, you guys take it easy, and we will see you on Saturday.
Later.